Let's pray as we begin this morning. Father God, thank you for this opportunity to be here. Father, I pray for the many in our congregation who are not feeling well. Father, I pray that you would, if it be your will, that you would help them to get well soon and that they would not be any worse, but they would get well. Father, I pray that you would help us who are here today to be able to stay healthy and to not have any problems. But Father God, regardless of what happens, I ask that you would help our confidence to be in you today. Father, help us to have a huge view of you today and that we will not be shaken by what happens because we are resting in you alone. And Father, I pray that as we have this opportunity to hear your word this morning, that you will help us to be doers of your word and not just hearers only. And Father, I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. How many of you like being told you're going to do something 24 hours in advance of needing to be doing that thing? I don't, and that happened to me yesterday morning about 8:30. That's okay. God is good, and he is very gracious, and he has granted a direction for me to go this morning, so we're going to be in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 15 to 17. So we'll read those together. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 15 through 17. I'm going to go ahead and read those for us now. And you know that from infancy you have known the sacred scriptures, which are able to give you wisdom for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Since early 2020, we've been living in a strange time. And that's probably like the understatement of like the past 2 years, but we've been living in a strange time. We have a health pandemic, shutdowns, political difficulties, conflicts between close friends and family based on perspectives and opinions, and so many more things that have made our time in life unique and strange. Life is like this at times. Life is difficult. Life is hard. And it's just that way, living in a sin-cursed world. So when life is hard, when life is strange, as it has been since early 2020, and it's not normal, what do we do? Where do we look for hope? Maybe you have found yourself in the past year plus with some discouragement, with some fearfulness, with some anxiety. Maybe you have found yourself angry or bitter or worried about something. Where do we go for hope? Where do we go when we're hurting and life is difficult? We live in a world that encourages us to live as victims, that everything that happens to us is because of someone else or because of something that happened to us. It's not me, it's them. We've been wronged by someone, that's what we're told. And on top of that, we're encouraged to numb ourselves through personal pleasure to ignore the reality that's going on within our own minds and our hearts. We numb ourselves with hobbies or movies or streaming TV shows or video games or books or family or whatever it might be. We numb ourselves. We give all our attention to this thing in life so that we don't have to think about the difficulty of life. I want to help us to have a better way to face the difficulties and hurt in life. God's word gives us a better way. I'm not saying that those things that I mentioned a moment ago are sinful in and of themselves, but they're a poor place to look for hope and help in a difficult life and world. Our big idea for this morning is God wants you to believe that His word is enough for all of life. God wants you to believe His word is enough for all of life. Our belief that God's word is enough for all of life will affect how we live day to day. God wants you to believe His word is enough for all of life. So first this morning, God's word is enough because it is God's word. God's word is enough because it is God's word. And let's just look at the first part of verse 16. I know we're jumping right into the middle of the three verses, but this is where we see that God's word is enough because it is God's word. Verse 16 begins by saying, "All scripture is inspired by God." We'll just pause there. All scripture is inspired by God. All of your Bible is inspired by God. The Old Testament, the New Testament, it is all God's word. When you open your Bible, you can have certainty that what you read is God's word. We have certainty that it is His word for us today. The word there, inspired, means breathed out by God. It's His breath. He spoke the words. God's breath made these words. The great creator God is the one who is the author of the Bible. When we open up our Bibles, it might say 2 Timothy, which wasn't written by Timothy. The human author was Paul. But God is the divine ultimate author of Scripture. The original manuscripts were inspired by God. What we have today are extremely reliable copies. Don't know if you know this or not, but when God had the human authors write, He did not write or have them write in English. He used the language that they spoke in that day. He used their personalities to come through in their writing. He used their passions to come through in their writings. Our Bibles, what you hold in your hand today, whether in paper form or electronic form, are God's word. They are God's word. You can have confidence that it is that. We live in a time in history where God's word is everywhere. The word of God is available in so many places. My guess is you are like me and have more than one copy just for yourself. You probably have multiple copies of God's word in your home. God's word is everywhere. If you have a smartphone, there are many, many options for apps that give you many, many translations of Scripture, not just in English. God's word is everywhere, and whether it is in our lap in a paper form, on our phone, or if it's on the internet somewhere, God's word is easily available to us. So, if we believe that all Scripture is inspired by God, if all Scripture is God's word, our daily lives ought to be affected by this truth. Our lives should reflect that we believe that God's word is God's word, and we live based on what God's word says. If our lives are not affected by God's word being God's word, then we do not believe it. If you go through your week and your life doesn't match what Scripture says, you don't truly believe that God's word is God's word. God's word is just that. It is God's word. 2 Timothy 3:16 says all Scripture, everything we find in it is God's word. My dad told a story to me about a pastor who went to visit an older lady, and I'm sure this is a common story that people have heard, but he asked if he could read some scripture to her. She was an older lady, and So he picked up her Bible and noticed that there was a lot of things that were cut out in her Bible. And the pastor was curious as to why are these portions missing from your Bible? And she said, well, I didn't really like those portions, so I just cut them out. Now, I don't know if that's a real true story or not. Maybe it is. But I think it illustrates a point that this lady just decided, I don't like that, so I don't believe it's God's word, and I'm going to cut it out. We can often do that, not physically, but if we don't like something, we can decide that I don't really think that this applies to me, or I don't think this is for me, and we can ignore it. We may not actually take scissors or something and cut it out of our Bibles, but by ignoring it, we're saying it's not God's word. God's word is God's word, and therefore, the creator of all life, think about it, the creator of everything, the God of the universe, gave us his written word. Just think about that. The God of all gave us his word. He gave us his word so that we know how to live a life of faith. He gave us his word so that we can know how to live a life of faith. Our Bibles are God's word. God is the author of Scripture, the creator of mankind. The creator of you knows what you need. The creator who made all mankind knows exactly what mankind needs. He knows our joys. He knows our struggles. He knows what makes us laugh. He knows what makes us cry. He knows us. God's word is enough for all of life's difficulties. 2020 and 21 with COVID, the political issues, the conflicts between relationships, God's word is enough to provide hope and help. We must believe that God's word is God's word and cling to the word of God. If we do not, we will have to look elsewhere. If we choose to not believe that God's word is God's word, we will look elsewhere for hope and for help. And the problem with that is, as we look in those other places, we will find them lacking. We will find them devoid of true, lasting, satisfying hope. We're encouraged to numb ourselves, as I said earlier. And that's fine. That may make us, for the moment, ignore the reality of the difficulties in our life. But when we're done with that thing, we're face to face with the difficulty that was there before. We might have forgotten about it for an hour or two, but then it's right there before us. God's word is enough for all of life's difficulties. Do you believe that your Bible is God's word? And before you answer that question in your own mind and heart, you have to answer the second question. Does your life prove your belief that God's word is enough because it is God's word? God says in 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is inspired by God. Everything we have from him is his word. Do you believe that God's word is God's word, and does your life reflect that? Secondly, God's word is enough because it is useful. God's word is enough because it is useful. Look at verses 15 through 17 now. And you know that from infancy you have known the sacred scriptures, which are able to give you wisdom for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. As a young child, verse 15 says, Timothy knew the sacred scriptures. From infancy, he knew the sacred scriptures. Now, I don't know any infants that can read, so he had to hear the scriptures from someone. And if you take just a moment and flip back to 2 Timothy chapter 1, and you begin there in verse 5, Paul says, chapter 1, verse 5, he says to Timothy, I recall, Paul saying, I recall your sincere faith that first lived in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am convinced is in you also. Timothy heard the sacred scriptures as a child from his mother and his grandmother. They taught him the truth of God's word. Now, what they had for the sacred scriptures was the Old Testament. They had the Old Testament, and they knew it well enough to communicate it to little Timothy, little infant Timothy, little boy Timothy. They communicated the Old Testament, God's word, to him. What we find here is two ladies who fully believe, were fully convinced that the word of God, God's word, is God's word, and they knew that Timothy needed to know that as well. And so they sought to communicate it to him, to speak it to him, even as a small child. They wanted him to know the sacred scriptures. They wanted him to be familiar with the scriptures, to believe that there was a Messiah that would come, that there was a Savior who would come, and he would save people from their sins. When Paul proclaims the gospel of Jesus to people, they respond with repentance and faith in God. Timothy's grandmother and mother were most likely led to Christ by Paul. And then Timothy's grandmother and mother were most likely the ones who led Timothy to Christ. They knew there was a Messiah coming, and when they heard from Paul about the Messiah, they were ready to believe, as was Timothy. Timothy had known the sacred scriptures, the Old Testament, what we call the Old Testament, from infancy. He heard it early on in his life. His faithful mom, his faithful grandma, regularly spoke scripture to little Timothy. Paul goes on in verse 15 to make it clear that the sacred scriptures are able to give you wisdom for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. God's word is useful to give help to those who will believe in Jesus for salvation. Timothy knew this for himself. Timothy had received the gift of salvation. Timothy responded in faith to God. The gospel is made known through the scriptures. According to verse 16, God's word is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. Not only, as in verse 15, it says that the scriptures are able to give wisdom for salvation, but they're also able to help us to know how we should live because of the gospel. Because of what God has done for us in Jesus, it gives us wisdom. It gives us understanding of how to live. God's word teaches us how to live by faith in Jesus. That's what that first word there in verse 16 is, profitable for teaching, or some of your translations may say doctrine. The teaching. We are taught the gospel in God's word. We're taught how the gospel changed lives and helps people to love God above all else. We need not go anywhere or look anywhere else for how to live a life that pleases and glorifies God. God's word teaches us how we should live. God's word teaches us how we should go in our lives for his glory. God's word also rebukes. The second thing there in verse 16, he says, profitable for rebuking. Rebuking is no fun. I don't know anybody who likes to be told they're wrong. Rebuking is not enjoyable, but God's word not only teaches us how we should live, but when we do not live in the way that God desires, God's word rebukes. When we are believing false truth or living in sin, God's word rebukes, showing us we are wrong. God's word rebukes us when we are living in sin. In God's word, we find the truth for when we are wrong. In God's word, we are led to repent. We're not just told we're wrong in Scripture, but it rebukes us and shows us how to respond to the rebuke that we receive. And that's through repentance and seeking forgiveness. God's word is useful for rebuking. God's word corrects us, as it says in verse 16, profitable for correcting. God's word corrects us by bringing us back to him when we sin. If you think of it this way, the idea of teaching is helping us to know, follow God's path, to follow how God would want us to live. When we get off that path, God's word rebukes us and shows us we're wrong, and then he corrects us and helps us to get back on that path. And that's correction and rebuking often go very close together. God's word points us back to the right way of living, which glorifies and pleases the God who made us and saved us. The word of God, corrects, has the idea of helping someone who has fallen back to their feet. Helping somebody who has fallen down to get back up and to keep moving forward. That's the idea of this correcting. We're someone who has stumbled, they believe false truth, they've been living in sin, and this correcting is helping them to respond properly, rightly, biblically, and to keep moving forward for God and for his glory. God's word is useful for correcting. And the last thing in verse 16 that God's word is profitable or useful for is for training in righteousness. God's word trains us to live righteous, holy lives for God's glory. We are trained to walk. We are trained to live righteous and holy lives in God's word. It trains us. It disciplines us. It helps us to know what is pleasing to God and how our lives can be holy and pure. God's word is useful for training in righteousness. And then in verse 17, we find that God's word is useful in these ways so that you, God's chosen one, may be complete, equipped for every good work. Look at verse 17. It says, so that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. God's word is useful to conform us into the image of Christ. God wants you to reflect, to image his son, and God's word is useful for salvation, for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, and for training in righteousness. Everything we need in life we find in God's word. We need not go elsewhere. God's word is maturing us in Jesus so that we become more and more conformed to Jesus' image. God's word is useful for every aspect of our life of faith in Jesus. Do you have difficulties or challenges in your life? It's probably a silly question because the answer is obvious. Of course we do. We live in a sin-cursed world. Do you believe that God's word is useful, that God's word is profitable for those difficulties? God's word is useful for the difficult circumstances of your life. This morning, I want you to understand, I want you to believe that God's word is enough, that God's word is all we need. We don't need to go elsewhere. God's word is enough for today, for the pain you feel, for the suffering you're going through, for the hurt that you've endured, for the joys that you've had, for the peaceful times. God's word is enough for all of life. I want you to take a moment, and I want you to think, what difficulties or challenges or struggles are you in the middle of today? And I don't want you to answer these out loud, but what difficulties, challenges, or struggles do you face right now today? You might have discouragement. You might have fearfulness. You might be struggling with worry or anxiousness. You might have relationship issues at home or at work or in your neighborhood. You might be struggling with lust or anger or greed or gossip or something else. What difficulties or challenges are you facing right now, today? Maybe you've tried to ignore or numb yourself to the reality of these difficulties. You may have tried to hope that when I wake up tomorrow, things will be better, that the next day will bring better realities. The reality is that the difficulties are still there. They're not gone. God wants you to believe that His word is enough for all of life. There will not come, I am fully convinced of this, that there will not come a time in your life in which God's word will not be enough. There will not come a time where we find God's word to be lacking. There just will not. No matter what the difficulties or challenges or struggles you face today, God's word is enough. Now, I don't want to minimize or make light of any one person's situation. You may very well be struggling with something that seems huge in your life today. I want you to remember and to know that first, if this is you, please know that if you have responded to the gospel with repentance and faith, God loves you. And God has given you hope in His word. Second, please know that Pastor Chad and I are available to listen and to seek to give you hope and help from the scriptures. We must believe the truth that God's word is enough for all of life. God wants you to believe that His word is enough. Do you believe this? Father God, thank you for our time together this morning to look at 2 Timothy 3, verses 15 through 17. Father God, you have given us your word. You, the God of all, the God of everything, have given us your word so that we can live a life of faith. You've given us a way to know how to respond in faith and repentance to you, and how to live a life because of your Son Jesus. Brother, I pray that if there is one here this morning who is struggling with something difficult in their life, that they would believe that your word is enough. Father, help us all to believe that. I pray this in Jesus' name, amen.